Hey guys, welcome to the Anchored Hope Podcast. I'm Pastor Mike, the lead pastor of Anchored Hope Church, and I hope that while you're listening today to our podcast, you can join us on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at 211 Boone Street. We'd love to have you. We hope that this message is encouraging to you, and we hope that you can also join us at our location at 211 Boone Street. Also, check out our Facebook page and our website, www.anchoredhope.church.
If you're new here today, we're finishing up a series today called Becoming a Kid Again. And all of our messages, we put them on our podcast on iTunes. We also record the services and put them later on Vimeo, so you can watch them on our website, anchoredhope.church. And we'd love for you to check that out and keep up to date with the list of events and the different things that we're doing. But we started this series, and it's funny because the opening illustration that I used 4 weeks ago, I shared with you a story that started the beginning of me writing this series was at the beginning of the summer when Toys R Us was closing, and I shared a story with you about how I was there the last day of Toys R Us existence, and I talked about seeing the meme that says there's no more Toys R Us kids, and I don't know if you heard the news this week, it's amazing, but Toys R Us is going to make a comeback, and I just think you all are directly responsible for this, because as I have encouraged you in this series to grow into the child you grew out of, it's clearly obvious that you are becoming Toys R Us kids once again, and you have revived Toys R Us. Jeffrey has a job again, so give yourself a little round of applause. Well done. God has heard you, and you have transformed the world. But that was a silly illustration that we began with that really did get me thinking about this. And then this verse came across my devotions. And this is the scripture verse that we've used this entire series to kind of shape. And the reason why we're talking about this is there was a moment in time where the disciples came to Jesus and they said, Jesus, how can we be better? How could we be considered one of the greats? Where one day, when we enter into the kingdom of God, we cannot just hear, well done, my good and faithful servant, but like they can say, oh, they were some of the best followers of Jesus. How can we be better? And Jesus said this. He said, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter into the kingdom of heaven. And we talked about how that was the requirement. That was the bare minimum. And then Jesus went on to talk about what that looked like. But how many times have you heard this verse preached on or mentioned, or how many times have you run across this? Jesus says, you must become like little children. And that's why we've been encouraging to grow into the child you grew out of. But I don't want you to think that this was just like, you know, a one verse that we picked out and started to preach on. Jesus doesn't just mention this here, and it's not just recorded by Matthew. Did you know that this is something that Jesus preached and taught in multiple places to multiple people at multiple times? It's found all throughout Scripture. Luke actually records another instance, and this is what he says in Luke. And just to give you kind of the setup for this, Jesus was once again in a different place at a different time, teaching to different people. And all of a sudden, little children started to come up really close to Jesus, and they started to fill the front row, because even in Jesus' day, nobody wanted to sit on the front row. And so the kids started to come and fill the front row, and the disciples started to shoo the kids away. The disciples came up to the kids and said, hey, get back to your parents' seat. Go to the children's department. And this is what Jesus said. Jesus called the children to him and said, let the little children come to me. And do not hinder them, don't shoo them away, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. So the Savior of the world, who predicted his own death and resurrection and was right, the Savior of the world, Jesus, who predicted the destruction of the temple and the persecution of Christians and the aftermath of what would be to come and was right. That person who was real said, if you want to be the best you can be, if you want to enter the kingdom of God, but not only enter the kingdom of God, but receive its blessings here on earth, here's what you need to do. You must become like a little child. So if Jesus seems like somebody you might be interested in following, this is what we all must do. And through this series, we've been talking about different qualities that Jesus himself and the people who knew him said that we must have. We talked about humility. We talked about being peacemakers. We talked about being believers. And those are just some of the few. This is a four-week series, but trust me, there are much more. And I really encourage you to go to your YouVersion Bible app or BibleGateway.com and just put in child or children and see all the different times in the New Testament where Jesus and the people who knew him best talked about being like a child. But today, I want to end with one of the big ones. I'm covering the basis. And the big one I want to talk about today is being brave. I think that being brave is so important. And many times, I think that we believe that kids are the scaredy cats and that us adults are the brave ones. But let me tell you, I think you have got it very, very wrong. I think you are way more scared than any child in our families or in our children's department are. And let me explain just a little bit to you. I mean, you just think for a second, think for a minute about what we make our children go through. The scary, horrible things that we force them to do every single day. I mean, think about whenever you took that kid to baseball practice for the first time. And I mean, there are 20 kids out there on the baseball field milling around. Your kid may not know any of them, maybe a couple of them. And you pulled up to that baseball field. They had no clue what they were doing or what was going on. They didn't know anybody. And you said, well, get out of the car, go to baseball. And you said, go make friends, go do this. I mean, seriously, when's the last time you adults, you parents, when's the last time you put yourself in that type of situation and environment where you just strolled up to 20 strangers and said, hey, I'm here to play? You've never done that in the last 10, 20, 30 years, some of you. Or think about what we put them through with school. I mean, think about school. Every single year, they get new teachers, they get new expectations, they get new schedules, they get new classrooms, some of them have to switch buildings, they get new lockers. I mean, think about that for us adults. That would be like every single year changing our jobs, right? And getting new expectations and a new boss and a new schedule. Some of you, that would make you so anxious, you would have to take a Xanax or two every single day because you couldn't handle it. But that's what we do to our kids. We tell our kids all the time, you need to try out. You need to go make friends. You just need to go do it. You need to go put yourself out there. Are you kidding me? Us adults, we don't ever do that. We never do that. But we make our kids do it all the time. Every year, a completely new set of expectations. And we tell them, you need to go do this. You need to go put yourself out there. And especially the little kids. I mean, our little kids in our children's department, they're maniacs. You should hang out with them sometime. Grant, Jude, Declan, all of them. They're like little mini daredevils. And it's scary, some of the things that they think are okay to do. At our children's department picnic, we had an appreciation picnic for our children's volunteers out at the All Reds house. And they've got this big like rock wall thing and swing and everything. And my 4-year-old daughter and 18-month-old son was there, but Grant Lindsay was there. And Grant was doing everything in his power to impress my daughter. He was jumping off of things. He was hanging from things. He was swinging from things. He was flipping from things. And every time, Olivia, watch this. Olivia, watch this. Olivia, watch this. So I have made sure that there is a strict no hug policy in the preschool room for the next 10 to 20 years. But these little guys, I mean, they are daredevils. They will do anything, and they're not scared of anything. That's the way our kids are. You used to be like that, but then you realized you can break an arm. You can get hurt. There is this thing called an emergency room, and sometimes you have to go. But for the most part, our children are so, so very brave. And we do. We push them to try new things, to experience new things, to meet new people. And why do we do that, parents? Why do we do that? And even if you're not a parent today, why did your parents do that to you? Why did they tell you that you needed to go try out? Why did they tell you you needed to put yourself out there, that you needed to be brave, that you needed new experiences, and that you needed to not worry? Why? It's because of this. It's because we knew if they show up and tried, they would be better for it. Correct? You with me? We push our kids, and your parents, they pushed you to put yourself out there, to go out and to make new friends, to go in environments where there's a lot of uncertainty. They pushed you to do that because they knew, man, if they just showed up and tried, they will be better for it. Because if they showed up and they tried, there's a big possibility that they're going to build friendships and relationships that are going to be very important to their life. We know that if they just showed up and they tried, they could quite possibly experience something that could change their life. They might find a new passion that they never even knew existed, something that they might actually enjoy, that they may want to be a part of for the rest of their life. That's why we push them to do those things. And here's the thing, that's exactly why I believe that God wants you to be brave, adults. For the same reason that you push your kids to try new things, to do new things, to meet new people, to make yourself vulnerable and to experience things that might seem scary, is because God knows that if you showed up and tried, you would be better for it. God thinks that there are things and people and experiences out there that if you just showed up and tried, you would build new relationships that would have a huge impact on your life. That you would experience things and enjoy things that you didn't even know were out there. That you would find new purposes in your life and things that you would enjoy that you actually might want to commit to. Things that you would enjoy so much that you would go, why am I finding this at 30? Why am I finding this at 40? Why am I finding this at 60? I wish I could get in a time machine and go back to my younger self and say, man, I wish you would have tried this earlier. Because if you had tried and if you were brave, the people you would have met, the experiences you would have had, and the things you would have learned about yourself, oh my goodness, the things it could do, the way it would change your life. God has better planned for you. I don't know if you know that or not. God came to, he created us with a plan in mind. And not everything is set out like a game piece. He's not moving us around. I don't believe, and nothing in that I've ever read has supported that everything happens for a reason. God is wanting you to choose this. He has better planned for you. He is in your future right now, building experiences and opportunities and relationships for you, life-changing experiences and relationships for you, things you didn't even know you'd want to enjoy or be a part of, things you didn't even know you had the skill set to accomplish. He is in your future right now, building better for you, planning better for you. But here's the great thing about God. God is not like your dad who took you to the first day of kindergarten and then snuck out of the room when you weren't looking. Any of you parents ever experienced that? Where you came in with your dad's hand and you were holding your dad's hand and all of a sudden it slipped away and all of a sudden you look behind you and he's outside the glass door going, have a good day, you know, and you're like, oh no, I'm by myself, right? God's not that dad. God is better. God loves you more than your daddy does. That's what that means. Because God doesn't do that. God gives you the freedom to choose. God's not going to make you do anything you don't want to do. He respects your decisions. And he waits till you choose what you want to do. And he doesn't leave you high and dry. He'll hold your hand as long as you feel like you need your hand held. But you have to choose to be brave. We all have to choose that. And I think that's what God wants for us. And the reason I say that, the reason I believe that, is because when I read the history of Jesus' life, I look at his relationship with his disciples. When Jesus began, he took disciples, people that were very, very close to them. And these people, when they were introduced to Jesus, they believed in Jesus so much. They were, at the very least, intrigued so much that they left their careers, they left their families, they left their hobbies, they left their materialism, they left everything behind. They cleared their schedule and said, I want to be with this guy. I want to follow Jesus. I want to see exactly where this takes me. They believed so much that they followed him. And Jesus again and again and again called them to this very extraordinary life that was anything but average, that was far beyond anything that they were capable of doing themselves. But what's so interesting is that even as they were with Jesus, even as they saw these miracles performed and they saw exactly what Jesus could do and how he backed up everything that he said, they were the biggest bunch of sissies on the face of the planet. Again and again and again, we read stories of how scared they are. And Jesus, every single time they get scared or they get worried or they get anxious, Jesus addresses their fear. He addresses what's going on. And I want to talk about one of those stories that Matthew records. And just to give you a little bit of backdrop of where we've been and what's happened in this story so far, Jesus was kind of on a tour with his disciples. And he had been teaching and he had been preaching and they had taken a boat to get to where they were. And Jesus says, "You guys get back in the boat. I'm going to dismiss everybody and then I'm going to go pray on top of that hill over there. But you guys go ahead and get back in the boat and start going. I'll join you later." I don't know what they thought was going to happen. Jesus didn't have a spare boat or anything, but they kind of just did what Jesus told them to do. So they get in the boat and they head off. And this is what happens. The Matthew tells us this is, "Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. And when the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, 'It's a ghost!'" Now, here's what happened. They got on the boat, and it's dark. I don't think some of us realize how dark is. I mean, if you've ever been on a cruise ship in the middle of ocean, and you look out at night, and you realize, hey, some places in the world, there aren't no streetlights. There is no electricity. I mean, think about if you've ever could picture or seen before when you're on the water and it gets pitch black dark, like 3 a.m. dark, that's dark. You can't see a thing. And I don't know about you, but dark water where I can't see what's swimming in the water scares me to death. But that's the kind of situation they're in. And then lightning started, and then thunder started, and then rain started, and then waves came. And it says they were terrified. And it says, in their fear, they cried out. The Greek word for cried out means they screamed. They screamed like little girls. That's what they experienced. And then they see something walking towards them. Not only was it scary just to be in the dark and was it to be on a boat, but then all of a sudden something starts walking over to them. And they're like, "What in the world is that? What is that coming towards us? That's gotta be a ghost." And they screamed out in terror. And then Jesus spoke to them, and he said, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Take courage. I am with you." Jesus, "Stop it. What are you guys doing? It's fine. I'm here. I heard your screams. I heard Peter screaming from over there. He sounds like a little girl. So I came walking out here to calm all this down and to figure this out. So everybody, stop." So Jesus clearly says, "It's me. I'm here." But here's what's so interesting. Then Peter called out to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." Now, here's what I find really interesting about this. They've been with Jesus for over a year now, possibly multiple years in Jesus' whole 3-year ministry. You have seen him do miracles. You have seen him do extraordinary things. There's nobody else on the face of the planet at the time with abilities. If somebody comes walking to you on water and he says, "I'm Jesus," I mean, really, do you second guess that it could possibly be somebody else with this power of walking on water? But Peter and the rest of the disciples are such skeptics, even still to this point, that they go, "Well, if it's really you, we have to have a test because we didn't have a safe word before you left us. So here's going to be the test. Tell us to walk on water." Because that would be something Jesus would do. So invite us out to walk on the water. So Jesus goes, "Okay, I'll play ball." So this is what Jesus says next. He says, "Yes, come. Come on out. Come on, step out of the boat." And so Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. Now that's amazing, right? Maybe this is what Peter had planned all along. Maybe he just wanted to walk on water and he was like, "Ooh, this is my chance to ask." But Peter walks on water, and it's amazing, and he's actually doing it. And remember, the storm is still going on. The waves are still going back and forth. There's still lightning. There's still thunder. The whole storm is still in the background. It's still raining and everything else. But Peter steps out of the boat, and he's doing it. He's actually walking on water. But then something bad happens. When he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. And he cried out, "Save me, Lord." Now, here's what's so interesting about this. Here's what I want you to catch. Peter was doing it. Peter was doing it. He was walking on water. It was amazing. He was accomplishing it. He was doing what he set out to do, and he had his eyes on Jesus, and he was actually doing it. But when did things go wrong? At what point did he begin to sink? At what point did he go from being brave to being afraid? When he saw the strong wind, he was terrified. When he saw the strong wind, he was looking at Jesus. He had his eye on the prize. He was focused. He knew where he was going. He knew what he wanted to accomplish. He knew what he wanted to happen and how it was going to happen. He had a plan. He had a dream. He was acting on it. But then he took his eyes off of Jesus, and he saw the scary waves, and he saw the thunder, and he saw the lightning, and he thought, "What in the world am I doing? I shouldn't be here. This shouldn't be possible. This isn't going to happen. Oh my goodness." And that was the moment when he started to sink. Let me ask you something. Has there ever been something that you had a dream of accomplishing? Has there ever been something that seemed bigger than yourself? Something that you didn't know that you could actually do. And you were determined, man. You said, "I'm going to do this. I'm going to finish this. I'm going to accomplish this. I'm going to go back to school. I'm going to talk to that girl. I'm going to start my own career. I'm going to get my master's. I'm going to go and I'm going to volunteer for this event. I'm going to step up and I'm going to propose my idea. I'm going to go and I'm going to help and I'm going to be a part of the team. And I'm going to answer the call. I'm going to do what God has called me to do. I'm going to feel like what this is who I am and what I'm supposed to do." And you had a plan. You had a dream. You maybe even had taken a couple steps to go there, and you were on your way, and you were accomplishing things, and it was like, "Oh my goodness, this is actually going to happen. This is so great. This is so cool. I can't believe we're here." And then all of a sudden, you got scared, because for a second, you took your eyes off the prize. You took your eyes off what you wanted to accomplish, where you were supposed to be going, and you looked at the scary waves. And you say, "Wait a minute, I can't do this. I'm not supposed to do this. I don't have what it takes. I'm not supposed to do this. This is too much. This is impossible. This isn't reality. This isn't supposed to happen." And all of a sudden, you went from being brave to scared. And you stopped. And you quit. And you turned back around. And you went running for the boat. Why did that happen? Why did you not finish what you started? Why did you not keep going? Why did you never accomplish that dream? It's because you took your eyes off the prize. It's because you looked at the waves and you got scared, and you let a lie become reality, and you let something scary overtake your mind, and you started to think of things that could be possibilities that weren't even real yet, but you made them real in your mind, and you allowed yourself to become anxious and fearful, and you all of a sudden were terrified. Anybody ever been there? Anybody know what I'm talking about? That's exactly what happened to Peter. He saw the waves, and he got scared, and that was the moment where he started to sink. And for some of you, that was the moment you started to sink, too. But what happened next was incredible. It says that he started to sink, and then this is what happened next. It says this. It says Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. Now, immediately, the moment Peter started to sink. So imagine for a minute, if you're kind of thinking about this in your head, Peter was going and he was happy and he's excited and he looked at the waves and he just started to go. He just started to drop. But it says immediately, as soon as it started, Jesus reached out and he grabbed Peter. Meaning that water didn't even get past Peter's knees. Peter didn't even get waist deep. It didn't even get above his neck. Peter's head never went under. As soon as he started to sink, Jesus reached out and he grabbed him. Now here's what that tells me, and this is what I've believed my entire life, is that if God asks you, God has you. If God asks you, God has you. Let me tell you something. If God calls you to do something, if God tells you, get out of the boat, if God tells you, I want you to go do this, I want you to go back and I want you to get your college education, God tells you, I want you to step out on faith and I want you to go and I want you to go talk to these people, I want you to be involved in this, I want you to be on the team, if God tells you, I want you to pitch your idea, if God tells you, I want you to start that career, I want you to be a leader in the community, I want you to be a leader at your church, I want you to be a leader in your family, if God calls you to do it, if he asks you, it means he has you. And there's nothing that you need to be afraid of. You can be brave because if he asks you, he has you. And in the short moment where you even feel like you are dipping and you're getting above your head, God is going to reach down and he is going to pull you up. And he is going to remind you that I have you. I am going to see you through this. I'm going to give you everything you need. I'm going to give you skills and blessings and breaks that you didn't even know you could have. Listen, this is my plan. I'm not going to leave you for dead. I'm not going to put you in a scary situation and ask you to do something that I haven't already thought through. If I'm asking you to do it, you can be brave because I have you. I have you. You don't need to be afraid and you don't need to be scared. And Jesus, he turns to Peter at that moment. He pulls him up and Peter's on the water again. And this is what it says next. He says, Peter, you have so little faith. Why did you doubt me? Peter, I had you the whole time. I'm the one who told you to get out of the boat. I'm the one that told you to start walking toward me. Peter, if I ask you, it means I have you. Why have you so little faith? Why did you doubt me? Do you ever think that God maybe looks at you and he calls you to something? He asks you to do something? And yeah, it's scary because God's a big dreamer. God's a big thinker. God doesn't do anything small. He calls you to do something and he knows not only will it be good for you, not only will it be something that will be such a joy in your life, something that you didn't even know you could experience, something you didn't even know you would enjoy, that you didn't even know where this would take you and the relationships it would build and the impact it would have. He looks at this and he goes, oh my goodness, this would be so good for them. This would bring so much joy to their life. This would make them such a better father or spouse, mother, employee. This was going to be so great. But he also sees the impact it's going to have on other people, the direct impact it's going to have on the other people involved. And he's so excited. But then you give up, but then you get scared, but then you start to sink, and God goes, why? Why are you doubting me? Why are you so scared right now? I have you. I wouldn't ask you to do it if I didn't have you. What is God calling you to do? I believe God has something planned for every single one of you. I do. I believe that every single person in this room, the whole reason we're here together right now, worshiping and learning together, is because this week you are going to go out into your jobs and your careers and your communities and your neighborhoods and your families and your households, and God has something better planned for you. God has relationships and experiences and opportunities waiting for you right now, opportunities and experiences and relationships that will impact other people, that will change people's health, change people's minds, change people's hearts. You are going to do something great. And I believe it, and God believes it, and God is in your future right now, building it and planning it. But the problem is that you have to choose. You have to choose to get out of the boat and keep going and be focused and keep your eyes on the prize and be brave and remember that the God who has called you has you. What is it that God is calling you to do? What is it right now? I believe that there's at least one person in this room right now who is scared to death to change careers, go back to school, volunteer, be part of something new, be part of Trunk or Treat, be part of a group, do something. You're right now, you are scared to death to do it, and you are staying in your comfort zone and you are choosing average. Don't shortchange your life. God has something planned for you, but you have to be brave enough to get out of the boat. What's stopping you? What is stopping you? I talk to so many adults who talk about the dreams that they had when they were in their 20s, when they were teenagers, the things they were going to accomplish, the things they were going to do. And they talk about, well, now I'm 30, now I'm 40, now I'm 50, now I'm a grandma, now I've got 5 kids. I can't ever do those things. Who says that? Who says you can't go do those things? Who says you can't have an impact? Who says you can't be that leader? Who says you can't be a part of that change? What is stopping you? Those are lies in your head that you have believed and made realities that no one ever said had to be. What's stopping you from doing what God has called you to do? Let me tell you about the worst place in the world to live is, okay? The worst place in the world that you could ever live is living between a dream and a reality. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. The most frustrating place to live is between living in a dream and a reality. Because you have such high hopes of what you could be or what could be or what you could accomplish. But you only get so far out of the boat and then you get scared and you run back for safety. Because you don't think you can make it. Because you don't think it's possible. Let me tell you something. If God has called you or asked you, God has you. And I mean this with all the love in the world. Get out of the boat. Get out of the stinking boat and go. And don't stop until you get to where you're supposed to be. Stop settling for average. Stop being scared. I believe that if you would just show up and try, you would be better for it. And you're going to have slips and you're going to have falls and there are going to be waves. And I'm not saying it's going to be easy. But I believe that if God has called you, he has you. Let me tell you something. If I had believed in what was possible, we never would have planted this church. When we started this 6 years ago with 6 people, none of this seemed possible. None of this seemed real. But we believe that if God has asked us, God has us. And I can't tell you how any of this worked. I don't know the secret sauce. I can't tell you what we did right because in my mind, we did more things wrong than correct. I cannot tell you what went right. All I can tell you is that because God asked us, God has had us. Amen? And I believe that's true of your life. This is not the only incredible, extraordinary thing God wants to do. He has a plan for you too. He has dreams and aspirations for you, and you have probably heard the call. You have probably felt the nudge. And let me tell you something, as somebody who has been called before in my life, you will never, no matter how hard you try, get away from that dream. That dream will hunt you down and it will haunt you. The only way to be for sure, if it is what you're actually supposed to do, is to pursue it until God tells you to stop. You need to pursue your dreams. You need to do what God has called you to do. And I believe you will be better for it. And I believe you can do it. And I believe that God will give you everything you need. I have two kids. I have such big dreams and aspirations for them. I believe in all the world that they are going to do incredible things and most importantly, make a huge impact on other people's lives. And I continually pour into them, be brave, be bold, go try, show up, give your best effort. And I promise, if nothing else, you will learn something and you will be better for it. You're still a child at heart. At least that's who God wants you to be. Be the child you once were. Grow back into the child you grew out of. Don't just be a dreamer, though. Be brave. Be a pioneer. Go out there and do what God has called you to do. This morning, the band's going to come back up, and we're going to sing a song that fits with this theme perfectly, called You Make Me Brave. And I believe that this morning, this is our opportunity to tell God, you know what, God? I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. You, because of who you are, because you have called me, because you have asked me, I know that you have me. And so God, this week, when I leave here, I'm going to pursue my dreams. I'm going to go after what I'm supposed to go after. There's no more excuses, no more focusing on all the reasons not to. I'm going to do this. Go out there and pursue what God has called you to pursue. Be brave and be bold and watch the life-changing experience that God has for you. If you guys would stand, I want to pray for us real quick. God, this morning, I believe that there's at least one person this morning. You are calling us to be brave. You are calling us today to get outside of our comfort zone, to finally go after and pursue those dreams that you have called us to do, to be bold and to be brave. And so God, will you help us to take our eyes off of the storms, off the scariness, off of all the worries, and will you help us to keep our eyes focused on the prize? Help us to keep our eyes focused on you, the one who has us, the one who is there to immediately catch us when we begin to fall. God, will you help us to do incredible things and walk on the water? That's my prayer this morning, God. And this morning we worship you and we call out to you and we make a promise to you to be brave.
Thank you so much for joining us on our podcast today. We hope that you can make it to one of our Sunday morning experiences at 211 Boone Street at 10 a.m. Don't forget to check out our website, www.anchoredhope.church. You can also give online very easily and conveniently. We'd love to have your support on our mission to lead people to a growing relationship with Jesus.